Us, Joel Friday here. Oh, hey, what's up? I was talking about Joel. Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It is 9 o'clock a.m. U.S. Pacific Standard Time here in Los Angeles. Let me confirm that the show is going. Nice. It's Thursday, March 7th, AD 2024. Men's forum is tonight, guys. Even if you're tired, unless you're like sick, don't come if you're sick. But even if you're tired, you feel tired, you will be re-energized. If you are a man, come on over to the men's forum, first Thursdays of the month at Bond in Los Angeles, rebuildingtheman.com/events. Women's forum, third Thursdays of the month. rebuildingtheman.com/events, 7 p.m. at Bond in Los Angeles. They're not recorded, not streamed. You have to come in person. People come from all over the world. Nice? Nice. What will we cover today? It's going to be a loosey-goosey Hake report show, but I will, out of respect and appreciation for the people who like me to cover actual content, I will try to cover this Elijah McClain thing, right? Guy was sentenced to like years in jail. A medic who administered ketamine, and some of you guys know more about ketamine than I do. But it's ridiculous. I have super chats to get to. I didn't get to a lot of your calls that who called in wanted to talk to or about topics that we brought up with Krishan the Don yesterday, Krishan the Don of Misfit Nation. So I thought, you know what? Let me just have him on tomorrow and to take your calls. He'll co-host with me. I will try to cover content as well, but also get to your calls tomorrow for a loosey-goosey Friday show. Co-host, as not as a guest that we interview, but as a co-host. Cool? Nice. But I have calls to get to now. So anyway, guys, let's get right on with the show!
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
Hey, guys! How you guys doing? I'm fine. I'm wearing a plain sky blue colored t-shirt that is, oh, let me scoot to the middle, that is not necessarily 100% cotton. And I saw Kevin Howe's chat during Hake News saying, I have the same that same shirt, Hake, only mine is extra large and it's filled out in the chest and arms, shoulders. LOL. So Kevin Howe looks physically more alpha than me. Nice. Or whatever. Thank you, Kevin Howe. That's cool. won't tell you where I got this shirt, by the way, which is telling you, if you know. That shirt really brings out your inner neckbeard. I just haven't addressed it. He sounds fat. I just have not trimmed this down a little bit, but I do like to let it grow a little bit. Whatever. Okay, so before I get to calls, I did promise to get to content. So let me tell you about this Elijah McClain thing. You can call in the meantime, and I won't spend too much time on this, hopefully. 888-775-3773 if you're watching during the Hake hours of Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 p.m. 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. I'm shaking my head because we're going to spring forward this Sunday. And that means that we're going to have Pacific daylight time. I'm going to be Pacific daylight time because daylight savings time starts in Los Angeles. and other parts of America, we spring forward an hour. We spring forward, so you lose an hour of sleep because in the middle of the night, at some point, roughly the middle, it goes from like 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. all of a sudden. You just skip an hour. And so we're going to be feeling like we're getting up at 3 a.m. instead of 4 a.m. or whatever it is. And it's going to stay light until 7 p.m. instead of till 6 p.m. And it's going to stay lighter longer and longer because we're heading towards summertime in the LBC, Long Beach City. Thank you, guys. So, Elijah McClain, he's resting in power, they say, which is not true. It's wishful thinking. There's so much wishful thinking going on in the world today. People in their imaginations making dumb assumptions or pretending to believe things that aren't true. So here's the headline in this Elijah McClain folder. Paramedic Peter Chichuniak. Pardon me if I'm butchering your name, Peter Chichuniak. Convicted for his role. Pardon my doing the... I know you're not supposed to do that. Convicted for his role in Elijah McClain's death. He sits in court there. And he was convicted... This Elijah McClain, a black guy, young man, skinny guy, he's no longer black, he's dead. Physically, his body's gone. Goner. And he was a Black Lives Matter martyr, Elijah McClain. So they're going after the whites, the cops, the paramedics. This man was a paramedic. We're looking at him right now. In his, like, prison outfit or jail outfit. With the yellow and white, off-white stripes. Looks like he's taller than Haig. Maybe. Randy Rodema, Nathan Woodyard, Jeremy Cooper, Jason Rosenblatt, and Peter Chichuniak. We're all, I guess, charged or something in this thing. If you kind of scroll through some of these images, Hassan. Scroll is not the right word, but cycle through some of them. Aurora paramedics guilty of homicide in Elijah McClain's death. Peter Chichuniak and Jeremy Cooper were convicted of criminally negligent homicide after the jury deliberated for 2 days. And then it has pictures of these black women with tears coming down their faces. The media loves this. The evil media. Look at all these white men, mugshots, relatively white, you know, comparatively speaking anyway. Mugshots. Sheenan McClain. And this young man was in his 20s, okay? So shed tears at a press conference at the justice system in Aurora, Colorado Fire Rescue Paramedic as Aurora Fire Rescue Paramedics Jeremy Cooper and Peter Chichuniak were found guilty of criminally negligent homicide for the death of Sheenan's son, Elijah McClain, December 22nd, 2023, in court. The Denver Post reports jurors on Friday, whenever this was, whatever day this was, back in, I guess, December, convicted two Aurora, Colorado paramedics of criminally negligent homicide, ending 3 months back-to-back trials that resulted in the conviction of one police officer and the acquittal of two others charged in the high-profile 2019 case. Elijah McClain is this sort of a sickly young man. I forget what he had, but he was sort of skinny. He was wearing an open-faced ski mask. A lot of blacks are wearing these open-faced ski masks. Because blacks get cold, and Aurora, Colorado is... can be a cold place, and he had issues, physical issues, and maybe some mental issues, because why did they give him this sedative, ketamine? They gave him this sedative called ketamine. This 23-year-old put in a neck hold, as if that's some bad thing, I guess. I don't know. Criminally negligent homicide and second-degree assault by drugging. Colorado has turned liberal, I think. So these men in their, these white men in their, maybe middle-aged men, roughly. Young, older young to middle-aged men. Walking outside with their wives and having to deal with this stuff. They were trying to calm this guy down. They gave him some ketamine, maybe too much. He died. Why did they need to give that to him if he weren't acting erratic? Why was he acting erratic? I don't know. I don't know what this guy was like. But you go into like one of the next ones. There's this one where these black ladies are lifting up their communist fake black power fists. Look at that. Why are you doing that? It looks like that's a political statement of black power. That's like looking at a white doing the Hitler salute thing, you know? It's the same thing. Has nothing to do with anything. They were trying to deal with this guy, and he got killed, apparently. Because he was so out of control, and they apparently went too far inadvertently. But he played a role in his own death, you know. In all the things they said, here's a female lawyer, liar, Stevenson. In all the things they said, they didn't say one single word that reflect any remorse for what happened to Elijah McClain, not one, like they're supposed to. They didn't admit there was anything they could have done better. They expressed zero accountability and zero remorse for their reckless and callous decisions, the decisions that killed Elijah McClain, their patient. He was not their patient. He was a guy who was acting erratic, having an episode. Maybe not raised right. Apparently, if you were raised by mothers like this, or women like this, where are these two ladies? Sheenan McClain Center walks out of the Adams thing. Median Holmes, holding hands, lifting their phony black power fists. I was listening to the American Anchor Baby yesterday, who's live at noon Pacific time, Monday through Thursday, and 4 p.m. Fridays Pacific time. And he's talking about how these blacks are all into their blackness, their radicalness, and it's encouraged. Look at this shamelessness. Encouraged to be all into their blackness when it has nothing to do with their situation, except for the fact of being into your blackness leads you to acting erratic and being angry and falsely prideful and caught up in your ego, and you get yourself killed sometimes, or you raise your children poorly sometimes because you train them to be all into this mess. I would surmise that such women as this would not be a good influence on a young man or boy. Commie fist? Asks Matthew. Yeah, communist fist. Worshipping the way that God made them rather than the way that, you know, God made them black, right? Rather than God, worshiping God. No, they worship the creation. I'm shaking my head. And the media is all into this, pretending, oh, Black Lives Matter. Tell them that. Only that's not gonna mean anything to them because they're blind. This paramedic was sentenced to 5 years in prison, NBC News reports. Here's this NBC headline. I gave him a ton of pictures. Hassan over here who's putting these things up. The next one down, I think. Paramedic sentenced to 5 years in prison in the death of Elijah McClain, age 23, died after being injected with sedative ketamine. What is ketamine? Well, it's a sedative. It puts you to sleep, supposedly. Calms you down. After a 2019 police encounter, somebody had a call about a person wearing a ski mask, and he hadn't necessarily done anything wrong, although somehow it escalated. With blacks, it escalates all the time, and they don't admit that. Because they don't actually care about the blacks, these phony people who are giving all this drama about this. And these, the more out of control, I've said it many times, the more out of control these black young men and ladies too get, the more perfect the cops are expected to be. It's ridiculous. It's so lopsided on the responsibility scale. And everybody on the whole is becoming more and more irresponsible, except for guys like Krishan the Don, seemingly, who keeps a good attitude and tries to make everybody else do as much of a good work and take as much responsibility as he does. He brings people up to his level. Whereas when you're in a world of incompetence and corruption, so much of the time we too fall into settling into incompetence and corruption. So sick, huh? That's mama communism. Okay, hey, take the picture down. What do you mean? Okay. Yeah, 5 years in prison. Show the, look at that. Well, I say chin up, kings. Don't you, despite the persecution for being white and doing your job, whether perfectly or imperfectly, doing your job, do not fall to bitterness, fear, victimhood, chin up. And I say kings jokingly when I say chin up, kings, because there is but one king, Jesus. Hake projecting right now, says some gal. What do you mean? These juries, your fellow man is not looking out for the truth. Your fellow man is not looking out for you. Your fellow man, even your fellow Christians, the snake pit themselves, Hake himself, everybody. Do not trust anyone to be fair to you. Do not trust it. Do not expect justice in this world. Oh, man. Skip down to these activists walking with this picture of them. Hashtag justice for Elijah McClain, this white-looking guy. I'm looking at a picture of a white-looking young man wearing a mask over his, you know, a bandana around his nose and mouth. I don't know why he has that. Maybe he's hiding his identity, or maybe it's during the China virus thing, June of 2020. Maybe it was for the China virus to protect people from his liquid spit that goes into the air and poisons them with the China virus. This guy with this sort of thinning hair, a little bit of a receded hairline, dark brown hair, skinny arms, white skin, quite white in that skin, and a little bit of veins to him. What is that T-shirt? It's kind of fancy. Maybe a backpack. And he's marching with this justice for Elijah McClain, with a picture of Elijah McClain wearing this 23-year-old young black man with glasses. Looks like a nerdy, nice black guy. Sort of a hipster, nice black guy. Colorado black. with this, you know, the, what is that? What's that material? Flannel shirt. Plaid flannel shirt. Justice for him. Black Lives Matter. How embarrassing. Even blacks should be embarrassed to be jumping on board with this Black Lives Matter mess. It's a slap in the face to whites, pretending that whites are the ones who don't value black lives when these people don't value their own lives. These people are beside themselves, you know? They're caught up, possessed, you know? Like everybody's possessed. They're possessed with excitement and excitability and escalation and drama, anger. And these people are too. You are not being a friend to Elijah McClain. You do not care about justice for him. You're pretending. You're in your imagination. You're emotional. Will in the chat is profiling this young man as a looking like a person who would try. Oh yeah, a lot of young skinny guys cannot handle their drugs like bigger guys like George of Florida could handle his drugs, supposedly. Hake, are you really talking about hairline turnaround? Wow, says Choice Bro. just because my hairline is receding a bit, I can't point out that his hairline is receding. I'm not saying it to make fun of him. I'm just saying it to describe this man. Indicating that this is probably a full-grown man, which makes it even worse. He should know better. But full-grown men are becoming more immature through the generations. Whites should be ashamed for attacking whites, says Alex Watts. Anybody should be ashamed attacking whites. He's balding, Hake, says Will Chambers. You can say that, but a lot of people, they stop losing hair at some point. It's not going to turn into like full-blown bald. And no, I'm not going to turn around, Joyce. You don't tell me what to do. Probably not a normal white, says Hassan. Yeah, he might not be a normal white. Can't say. He has sunglasses on, so you can't tell anything. Hake, you're wonderfully made, says Terry. Thank you. That's a Christian lady. Look at these young men, these paramedics who are charged. Jeremy Cooper and his wife, last two little pictures. And Peter Cichuniec, Cichuniec. Cichuniec and his wife, these guys exiting the courthouses. One of them is getting 5 years! 5 years! You know? It's wild. Here's the Jeremy Cooper guy. And these guys, I don't know if they did something wrong. I don't know if they're heartless and cold. Who isn't? These people who are, this woman Stevenson judging these guys for being not expressing any, or they may have gone too far. What? They don't have to. They put all these emotions and preachiness with their fake religion of false compassion, emotional compassion, passion in court. Lawyers and even judges are doing it, and juries. I'm shaking my head. So, be better, not bitter. Thank you, Hassan. Appreciate that. That's your Elijah McClain Fallout drama coverage. William in California is on the line. You can call in, guys. 888-77-JESSE. William, thanks for calling and holding. What's up, man?
Well, thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I hear you great right now.
Okay, because I'm not on the house phone. I'm up in up north. What do you call it? Sebastopol. They got a little land up there, so I'm going to go spend the day up there.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to David and Ocala and Blazing Hogs and Red Dirt Farm. Shout out to the farmers.
Okay.
Yeah, you had quite an interesting week.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Of shows. Yeah. Yesterday was pretty good, too. I liked that you had a guest on yesterday. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. And today, in this day in history, you know, baseball adopted 9 players, 9 innings.
Oh, really? What was it before? Do you know?
Oh, it probably was a little bit less when they first started playing the game. I think the game started, 1880s.
Yeah.
When they start, something like that.
Right.
Just a little history. Just a little history.
Yep.
You had some interesting collar wars earlier this week.
And, I did. I had Mays versus somebody, and I think it might have been Jaime from Minnesota.
Jaime.
And I had John from Kentucky.
Good call by Jaime. Yeah.
John from Kentucky versus Mark from Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, Mark from Los Angeles is a good guy, and I don't think he's all that angry. And he has a right to even, I mean, anything that he feels about what he is on his mind, he has a right to have that. I mean, you know, they're doing that to Donald Trump. They want to try to prosecute him for what he thinks. And it's just, Mark doesn't bother me. Nothing he says offends me. And then you have other black callers that accuse some black callers of agreeing with you when that's not the case. Pretty much people have a mind of their own.
Yeah, right. People, it's sort of silly when a person accuses a person of just kissing up or kissing up to a host or whatever, or the whites or whatever.
Right.
When you have no idea the heart of the person, you don't even really
know
your own heart.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
You don't even know anything about the person. Like it was said, I wonder what Mark was doing in the 1960s.
Well, I know.
That's kind of a stupid question because Mark probably, let me think about how old is Mark?
I have no idea.
He's
either Gen X or Boomer or maybe older than Boomer, I'm guessing.
All right.
Yeah.
I was six. Okay. You're talking about those 1960s and all this stuff that was going on. I was a kid.
Nice.
And mostly everybody that you calls into your show was a kid. So the question about what he was doing is really kind of really reaching.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of like saying.
He probably was at a bonfire. Wait a minute. He probably was at a bonfire change.
I know. And who cares? I mean, the past is the past.
Yes, quit living in the past. Quit using that stuff.
It's right.
I never hear white people accusing other white people of kissing up to the. Wait a minute. Let me see. Blacks get on blacks' case when they don't agree with them about their wokeness. But I never hear, I hear sometime, but I don't never hear white people do that to each other like blacks do.
Yeah.
They kind of call each other on it.
Yeah, it seems for whatever reason, whites tend to be more fair-minded for whatever reason. Sometimes they do fall into different, of course, everybody falls into their brainwashing. And
it can happen,
But I feel like I know why blacks are so brainwashed, because the raising of them is so off now. Everybody coddling them and telling them about racism and stuff.
Well, they're panicking too, because it's over. Okay, you will not have to be disavowing your channel anymore after November. It's going to change. It's going to go back.
I doubt
that. A lot of stuff is happening. No, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Things are coming back to normal. I mean, if San Francisco, Bob Melvin, the manager of the Giants, he's demanding that his players get on the field and stand up for the national anthem. And it has been said, all of these woke cities and sanctuary cities, it has been said as an idea of you not getting any federal funds if you want to keep this up. So,
well, I think that a lot of what the right wing is doing is trying to salvage something that's mostly gone, I really think.
What do you mean? I really don't. I hear that all the time.
Uh-huh.
You're mad because it's changing. Like, really, what is really changing? You know, just because they're here and they're changing your lives. I don't see any black people changing any white folks' lives. You ain't that important.
It's not just blacks, though. The whole culture has changed for...
Yeah, I get that, too.
Look at how they're kissing up to the LGBT stuff and women.
Oh, my God.
So the women, the kissing up to women is worldwide.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah. But I've noticed that it's been kind of backfiring on them, you know? They got some whites coming up trying to use their rules against them and saying, hey, you're discriminating against me because I'm white. I mean, two can play the game.
Yeah,
like you said, you got the Black Power signs. That is so weak.
Yeah, it really
is. That is so 1967. Stop.
And it was evil even back then.
I mean, I told you before. I have a friend that his father was one of those, and he was number four in charge, number three. So I'm gonna dox him. But I'm gonna say this: I talked to him about that stuff, and he said, "Okay, at the time it was needed." So you got to let, you know, like you say, your callers tell you about being stopped by the police and getting smart with the police. That's not our world.
Yeah.
And that's really a bunch of movie scenes, really.
Yeah.
So that's just not our world now. I mean, look what they've done. I mean, they got body cams on the police officers. That backfired on them.
Yeah.
Because every time you put them in the back of the car, which is every day, they always say they can't breathe.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was phony. I think it was maybe not so much phony because, like he told me, he said when his dad was into that it may have been needed at the time because in Oakland, some police officers were doing some things. But it just seems like a lot of blacks that were little children back then.
Right.
For some reason, they're reaching back to that like that was their life. That was not your life. We were playing with slinkies.
I truly don't even think it was needed. I think that he's just trying to either he was misled about the situation.
And Bobby Seale and Huey and all of, you know, all they did, Angela Davis, all of them, all they did was end up working for the system they very much so said that was oppressing against them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but Angela Davis, same thing.
Right.
She didn't comb her hair. She gets to be a professor.
The solution is...
You know what I mean? At the very institutions that you say you're against, they're all working for them now.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The problem, I think, is... at the risk of sounding like I'm repeating myself, anger. These people were...
Yeah.
Angry, prideful of the black identity.
Yep.
You're barking up the wrong tree. You're going down the wrong road.
Going down the wrong road.
Whatever the police were doing, you're doing evil.
Well, I mean, George. I mean, that's like people say you white people do. You white people came here and took this land from the American Indians.
It's the way of the world.
That's not even true,
right?
And. That didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
And it's called colonizing. They modernized this country. They brought the new world here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get over it. If you don't like it, I haven't heard the Indians say too much about it because, you know, they were the ones that got their butts kicked. But it's all what they call it, war. And I don't even think that was a war. But like you said, James, the fist, the black power, you know, it is kind of phony because that's been done already.
And it was, I'm telling you, it was phony back then. It was evil back then.
Yeah. Anybody that was.
And I have nothing against your friend's dad or anything. I get that people, we all fall into dumb stuff when we're young.
And then plus, let's look.
That's the point, is you don't listen to young people.
But the thing is that he's dead now. He would be in his 80s, but he was in his 20s then.
Right.
And you got to...
He was young and dumb. And a lot of people hold on to that stuff as though it was so real, but they don't realize, they don't see that it's not real.
I look at
People are just, don't see.
Trying to hold on to that stuff, you know what I mean? They're trying to hold on, not to interrupt you, James.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
They sit up there and they're trying to claim something that when it was around, you were nothing but 10.
Right.
Or 7.
Yeah.
So what does Mark's IQ got to do with anything? That turned out weak. It was like, you know, looking for things to ask and pick on somebody and thrash on somebody. Mark ain't said nothing to hurt nobody.
Yeah.
He tell the truth, and it don't offend me. Guess what? Mark's a man. He's a real man. Guess what? I don't agree with Joe from Phoenix 100%.
Right.
But he's a man, you know, because he doesn't. He does some things, and he says some things I don't agree with.
Yeah.
I ain't coming after his neck.
Right.
He doesn't do that to me.
Well, thank you, William. Like, I appreciate you, man. I got to keep it moving, man.
Keep it moving, man, but the blacks need to kind of check that. Were you around? Just ask that question. And a lot of these black queens.
We love really the black queens.
Wait. Don't go there.
Even though they were crack fiends.
Leave that mildly mess alone. Check this out. They don't really feel that good about themselves.
Right. That's why they're saying it. They're trying
That's
to convince themselves.
Saying.
Thank you,
That's
William.
Right.
Take care, man.
Take care, brother.
All right. Bye. He's expressing the love for you blacks, the best that he can. You William Judgers. Jeff in Louisiana is on the line. Jeff, thanks for calling and holding. Appreciate you, man. What's up?
Hey, man. I just want to call and give you an update on Tuesday. I called in about the Gavin Newsom thing with the $20 minimum wage in Panera Bread.
Yeah, so Panera Bread was exempt from something. People say it's because they donated to Gavin Newsom, but they also they have a bakery, and since they have a bakery, they don't have to follow some rule in California.
Yeah, well, the guy that runs that business that Gavin Newsom donated to come out on Tuesday and said that he's going to go up his minimum wage to $20.
Okay.
The previous Gavin Newsom.
So he's gonna comply with it, even though he doesn't quote unquote have to.
Yeah, but then after that, Newsom come out and researched the policy, and said he said that many bakeries mix their dough off if the Gavin Newsom they wouldn't qualify for anyway, because if they mix their dough off site and then bake it there, they don't qualify. They mix it on site.
Oh. What a weird, I mean, I'm sure there's maybe some, I would imagine there's maybe some reasoning behind this that somewhat makes sense to somebody, but it sounds strange to me.
It's just way to cover stuff because nobody's going to look into it that deep.
Right. I know I don't because, it looks like showing favor to somebody who donated to you, and I don't know if that's true, you know, and... It doesn't really concern me that much because there's so much deeper, more fundamental corruption. When I say corruption, I don't mean corruption in the sense of, trading favors. I mean moral corruption. People who are immoral, pushing immoral things in the government, you know, and in the corporate world.
I mean, you don't watch that comedy special tonight?
Oh, I don't know anything. Oh, are you talking about the State of the Union address? By Biden?
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm catching on. You're a smart guy, Jeff in Louisiana.
Man, that's going to be hilarious. Because all he's going to talk about is his what he's done and his re-election campaign. He's not talking about nothing else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
I don't know if he's going to watch or not. But Trump is going to put out, he's going to be on Truth Social. He's going to fact check it live.
Okay, interesting. Right on. Have you paid attention to Trump's? Have you watched in their entirety any of Trump's speeches?
No, I won't say the entirety. I've watched a lot of them, a long bit of them.
I have a question about it.
Okay, I may be able to answer. I'm not sure.
People say that he's mixing up words. That Trump is. Saying some nonsense sometimes.
I have not seen one. I mean, I watch a lot of his speeches. I got time to kill. So I watch a lot. I haven't seen him mix up none of his words like that, like they're saying. And the last thing was, what is if you watch news and they've been guilty for years, is CNBC, MSNBC, all that crap, they cut a speech and they cut it and Pete, you know, cut it out for us and linked together to where he says something and it sounds like he's saying something wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just like they showed him supposedly pushing the donor, pushing the guy away at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, yeah. I saw and something like that.
When they showed it, when they showed the actual clip, it was his patting the guy on the back.
Oh, funny. Yeah, you know what? I stutter quite a lot. Am I going senile? I hope not. Well, it's best not to worry about it and get in your imagination because that's going to make you even worse mentally.
You want to know what's real sad is last time on MSNBC, I think it was Joe Scarborough or somebody.
Yeah.
Said that talking about that topic about Trump, and he goes, well, I want to say what's unpopular here. This is the strongest I've ever seen Biden mentally, cognitively, and everything else. This is the strongest I've ever seen Biden. We're in a good spot.
Okay. Yeah. What a ridiculous statement. We're not in a good spot.
Well, I mean, if that's the strongest I've ever seen Biden, I mean, God, I hate to see what it looked like 10 years ago. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
The guys ain't right.
No, I was reminiscing. Biden, I was reminiscing on the when he was vice president, debating Paul Ryan, I think Paul Ryan, who was running for vice president alongside Mitt Romney, they had the vice presidential debate, and they were sitting at this table having this debate. And back then, Biden had more energy. He was a little bit fatter. He was, he had the energy, and he would, he acted out, you know, his usual drama stuff, pretending to be outraged and pretending to be the reasonable person who's just telling common sense and just outraged at you Republicans' inhumanity and stuff like that. And he clearly was more with it. He was less old man-ish. Now he's like an old man, old, feeble, slow-moving man, low-energy man. So, and I use the term man loosely. So you're right.
Man, I ain't gonna hold your phone silent. One more thing, real quick. You know, they're talking about the presidential debates. You know, Trump's gonna come out and said, "I'll debate him anytime, anywhere." You know, just give me the platform. I want to debate Biden.
Yeah.
Well, his campaign, they asked Peter Ducey asked John Pierre about it. She said, "That's something you discuss the campaign." If their schedule is, and Peter Ducey said, we know when the debates are scheduled, you know the time, the place, everything else. We don't know if he'll show up. And she said, well, you need to talk to his campaign. His campaign at least a statement. But well, if Donald Trump wants to see Biden so bad in prime time, he can watch him tonight.
Yeah, I know. True.
But man, okay. I want to say one last thing. I want to say is the other day I called in. The guy called in, he wasn't bad after nothing, but the guy calling after called me was saying I was a boomer or something.
Right.
But the thing is, I did not say Trump didn't make money. I did not state that.
Right.
I said Trump did not go into it for the money.
Yeah. Right.
That's the difference.
That's what my argument was. Whether or not he made money is really irrelevant.
Yeah.
His motivation does not seem to be money or blackmail. That guy was imagining that Trump is being blackmailed into running for president and winning and doing stuff for Israel. Like,
how long have they been trying to blackmail for? Hell, they already got him at, what, $454 million in one judgment and $93 million in another, and they're still going to court on him? So, I don't know what they're blackmailing for. I mean, if you got to pay that much money,
Right, yeah. I'm with you, man. I think these people are insane.
And that shows you, dude, the dude is committed to the country. Now he's not worried about part of it is revenge to get back in office.
Okay.
I mean, he's just his ego. I'm going to say it is part of his ego to get back in office.
His ego to get back in office? Okay.
Yeah.
You think so?
Well, not the main part. I mean, a tad bit of it is his ego because he got screwed.
Possibly so, yeah. I mean, it possibly could be ego to get desserts.
But the thing is, would you spend over $500 million in fines and God knows how many millions of lawyer fees? You got lawyers everywhere.
Yeah.
You have a lawyer every jurisdiction charging with to have a lawyer there.
Yeah.
You got one in New York, you got one in The one they call in Georgia, they call his, they didn't name him Boots. That guy's good. But he's got to pay all his lawyers all this money. So, I mean, if the guy was just about money, he wouldn't be spending. Why would you spend $500 million to make $400,000?
Yeah.
And the regulations, the guy was talking about the other day, we made $2.5 billion off of this and that. That's going to happen anyway, because whoever gets in there is going to make deals that benefit his companies. Because he owns just so many companies.
Yeah.
So if he's not, then him passing laws and doing this is not just him benefiting himself. They're going to make money off, he's going to make money off his companies regardless.
Right.
Because everybody's got to have use of them. So Biden making money, if he would have such a hatred for him, and what's Biden there, go to China and pay them $20 billion for a sprocket that they paid Trump $2 for? But, I mean, you know, it's just the point is, that he's going to make his money regardless.
Right. Yeah.
But that is just my point. Man, anyway, I'll let you go, man. You have a good one.
You too. Jeff in Louisiana. Take care. Nice. I sighed because of the inner stress of the click. So beta, huh? At least one more quick call before I get back maybe to some stories, and I have the break coming up. I do have calls to get to, though. And you can call in. There is one line open, 1-888-775-3773. But I got to get to Will, a first-time caller from Australia. Thank you for calling, Will. I appreciate you making the effort and doing it.
That's all right, mate. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, of course.
I just wanted to say thank you for your show, and you guys are probably one of the only stations putting out like real truth, you know. It's I don't know, it's hard to put in words, but I just wanted to thank you guys, all you guys there, you know, even, you know, Sean back there and the Anchor Baby and all those other fellas and all that. JLP also. He reminds me a lot of my pop. Like, you know, that old school way of knowing things, and it's been a lot. So thank you.
That's so true, man. What you said, that he reminds you of your dad. I had coaches. I had one coach in particular, and my dad too, my father as well, were like sort of no excuses and somewhat of common sense and you know, self-control. And it reminds me a lot of what it's, they laid the foundation in part. And of course, the Holy Spirit within, you know, kind of speaks, yes, this is the truth, confirms the truth that JLP tells. So I think I know what you mean by that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's just clean cut. It's just so straight, you know. Like, I used to listen to Alex Jones a lot. Not that he doesn't speak truth and all that sort of stuff, but there's a lot of high energy stuff going on, you know. And when I listen to you guys, it's cool, calm, collected, and you're never outgoing or, you know, going overboard. And it's just very, very humbling. So, yeah, thank you, guys.
Right on, man. I know what you mean with that, too. I was watching a clip of JLP talking to this guy named Jay, Grandmaster Jay, J-A-Y. It was on the Fallen State some years back of NFAC, Not Effing Around Coalition, this black armed guy. And he was saying the quote-unquote right things about no excuses. He was talking out of both sides of his mouth because he was contradicting himself because he wants reparations. Mm-hmm. But he is trying to distance himself from the Black Lives Matter and Antifa types. But you mentioned energy of, for example, my competitor Alex Jones is sometimes a bit much. Maybe it's anger driven or passion driven. Same thing with this guy. Well, this guy's even worse than Alex Jones, because I really appreciate Alex Jones, and you're right, he might be...
Oh, me too.
He might have some anger that he's overcoming, you know, or has yet to...
We all.
But this guy, he was like, just, if he were to see himself, I think he would realize that his spirit is evil, his spirit is wrong. I'm talking about this Grandmaster Jay, who's since been, I think, arrested and charged, pleaded guilty to some type of supposed crime, according to reports that I think I saw. But his energy is off and wrong, and he's identified with that angry, evil, overly energetic spirit rather than the calm. That's cool, man.
Yeah, and it's just, like I said, it's been a light and a grounding light, you know, and it's, yeah, I just want to say thanks again. Thank you very much. I don't want to keep you any longer.
No problem. Thank you, Will, in Australia. Feel free to call me again sometime. What time is it over there in Australia where you are?
Oh, Jiminy Cricket, the sun's down. 4:50 in the morning.
Wow, nice. Right on. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
No worries, brother. Hooroo.
All right, bye. Hooroo. Shout out to the Australians and Kiwis who listen to Hake and JLP and American Anchor Baby and Joel Friday here. The Anglosphere, as what's his name called it? Will Tucker Carlson, my other competitor. Okay. There's some things that I've been wanting to touch on in the Hake chat folder. So let's see if I can bring some of these things up. Brother Sonny asked me some time back, Hake, why do you say democracy like Yoda? You know, Yoda, the green little monster alien thingamajigger from that Star Wars movie. Those Star Wars movies. I say democracy, because if you look at it written down in Zoomer talk or Millennial talk, they capitalize one letter, lowercase the other letter, capitalize the next letter, lowercase the next one, capitalize the other one, because it's said, meant to be said sarcastically and mockingly, or it's like I said, classified documents. I'm trying to. People are saying it sounds like Yoda, which is not how I mean to sound. I'm mocking it. I'm mocking this notion of democracy because it's their religion and they don't even know what it means. Or if they do know what it means, they are falsely valuing it. To me, democracy means mob rule. The majority gets their way. And when has the majority been right about anything? On a spiritual level. Maybe they may be right about on a factual or level, perhaps sometimes, or oftentimes maybe even. But on a spiritual level, right and wrong, they may be right about the right thing, but they arrived at it in the wrong way. Their root values are wrong. Our root values are wrong. Human beings are a mess. You don't want the people. You want the people to self-rule because you want them to be left to have to take care of themselves. That's when they rise to the occasion and take care of themselves. You know? But we're voting in our own self-destruction and spoiling ourselves. That's why I mock this democracy stuff. Same thing with classified documents. Like, I get that there's stuff that should be kept secret, of course. Or that isn't the people's business or whatever. Fine. Or that needs to be protected from the enemies finding out. And so you have to keep other people who are not directly involved, but who might be interested, for whatever reason, from finding out. But it's just a phony, I hate Trump, so let me get him. Just like all of these things are, I hate Trump, so let me get him. They don't, we're holding Trump responsible for his crimes, say these phony people. These phony, self-righteous people. I've argued with some of my chat about this dirty video woman, Stephanie Clifford. You guys know her as Stormy Daniels. I feel like it's dumb and feel like it's dumb to mention her pornography name or whatever it is, dirty video name or stage name or whatever it is. Think about the most dirty people in the media are hyping this and talking about it. salacious stuff about this dirty video woman and her creepy porn lawyer, as Tucker Carlson called him. They hate each other now. Stormy Day, this Stephanie Clifford, and I think that's her real name, dirty video woman, and this lawyer hate each other now. They've turned on each other. But they, the two of them, were honored by, up here is this city, this dirty city, morally dirty city, called West Hollywood. West Hollywood is, in my my impression of West Hollywood, is that is the LGBT, so-called, gay, not morally straight capital, reveling in their degeneracy of LA County, we'll call it, maybe of Southern California, I don't know. Men don't use the term creepy, Hake. I know. So Tucker is not a man. he's from New England. He was Episcopalian, Lin Yinchen. You got to cut him some slack. And cut me some slack for quoting him. They honored those people. They honored this woman who's, I hate Trump, so let me go after him with something allegedly from our past, where our paths crossed. And let me violate a non-disclosure agreement. I got paid to shut up, allegedly, and I still am going to run my mouth and get Trump. And these dirty people are celebrating and honoring a dishonorable person. And these Christians are falling for it and repeating her dirty nickname, and pretending like no slack shall be cut, Hake. Nice. forgive. And then, forgive. Some of you guys, Nugget Man, for example, Nugget Man keeps on saying that Trump waived he calls it sodomite. I call it dirty, not morally straight pride, false pride and false identity flag. And Nugget Man, I think, believes in the Stormy Daniels mess. Some of you guys, others, too. And Nugget Man's a good guy. Nice guy. A generally pretty decent person, I think. Great mod, by the way. You guys act like Trump is a vulgar person, and like he's vulgar to this day over something that may have happened, may or may not have happened from 2005. And some payoff that may or may not have happened for whatever reason from 2016 or whatever this dirty woman did, guy or whatever, involving the rat, Michael Cohen, allegedly paid her off, and I don't know if Trump even knew about it or whatever. But you guys get under your imagination about this stuff, and I've heard that Trump used to brag about sleeping around. I haven't heard him brag about that lately. So it seems like you guys are the dirty ones for bringing it up and following in the mainstream media's path, footsteps of bringing it up. And I already addressed the flag thing. What I imagine about the flag was, I don't think I would do it, but some gays for Trump, quote unquote, were at the front of the crowd. I don't know if this is what really happened. And Trump saw it and he got it from them and waved it. He didn't bring it. He doesn't keep it in cargo and fly it everywhere he goes. He did it once and you looked at it and you judged him. You know what I mean? Jelly Bean? Who cares? What does this have to do with? Yeah, that's a great point. That's really the root point, Stephen Hall. We get sucked into stuff that doesn't even matter. Arguments. It doesn't matter if Trump, quote unquote, lied about that. Maybe he should lie about that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the big picture truth that he's telling you that matters about the country and about doing the job of president. It matters that he is been a light in the dark place. Some of his policies, I think I disagree with. He didn't go after Black Lives Matter hard enough and Antifa hard enough. He kissed up to the blacks and the women, and it bit him in the rear, and it bit the country in the rear, and the criminals, letting criminals out. A lot of those things are bad. But above all that stuff is just his spirit is just shining the light, seemingly to me, my perception. Speaking from the heart, telling the truth and standing on it, such a breath of fresh air. And I expect a whole lot of evil from a mostly evil administration, because this any administration that you get, you're going to have evil people in it who do misguided things. What's your breaking point for Trump supporting that stuff? Honest question, asks Nugget Man. Look at him compared with Obama. I know that a lot of people say, oh, Trump came into the presidency supporting so-called same-sex marriage, whereas Obama didn't. Obama did. He was lying about it. And at every point, Obama was pushing pro-LGBT mess in the military, in the prisons, in the schools, in the government, in everything. Whereas Trump was listening to the Christians, partly, and taking stuff out of the military. He was removing that stuff. So, appreciate it. Appreciate it, because you're caught up in a distraction, and you're judging blindly. Hope that helps. Call me if you... call me and let's discuss. 1-888-775-3773. People are on hold. We're past the top of the hour. It's time for Starflyer 59, guys. I didn't get to play Work Hard Wednesday yesterday. This track is entitled Thin as a Needle, and it's a different version from the album version. This is an EP version that came out from the last Laurel EP in, like, 2004. EP is like just means a few songs rather than a whole bunch. Starflyer 59, Work Hard Wednesday on Thursday. Hope you enjoy it, you musical Philistines. You can cover your ears, press mute, grin and bear it, go outside, shovel snow, plant your garden, harvest your crops. Be right back for the rest of Hour 2. Hang tight. We'll be right back. thank you guys for bearing with me through my opinion that beautiful music. Somebody said it sounds like lazy music or something like that. Interesting. More Andy Lau requests Bald Man 54. Maybe I'll get an Andy Lau song for tomorrow, which is going to be Fob Friday, to play during break when Krishan the Don will be back. That would be pretty cool. Let me check for Super Chats. In fact, I know that there are some because I was remiss in not getting to some that were there from yesterday. So I appreciate that. BuyMeACoffee.com/TheHake Report. The cool thing about Buy Me a Coffee and Streamlabs and Ko-fi, is that you can donate even when I'm off air. I don't have to be like live. I have to be live during Rumble for you guys to give me like a Rumble rant donation. Or for these other guys who are still monetized on YouTube, they have to be live in order for you to give them a super chat or have a live video at least set up. But you can super chat in the middle of the night or whenever on buymeacoffee.com/TheHakeReport or the other ones, you know, JLP Talk, Anchor Baby, Joel Friday TV. Nice. It was lazy. Dude has no vocal range, almost whispering, LOL. But it's also a vibe. It's also a vibe, Mike, in the chat. Pot music. No, he's a trucker. I'm arguing with my chat over the Hake music. Back to the Super Chats. Over on buymeacoffee.com. Popcorn's Thump Keg bought one yesterday, asking if I responded to it. And he edited his coffee saying, I saw your response to my coffee for JLP regarding Elder as VP. I initially thought that you said you weren't really in support of Elder, partially because he's black, but it sounds like you've shifted on that a little. It may sound like that because you're misinterpreting. This is why you got to listen carefully and have a strict, disciplined mind. And also people misspeak, but in this case, I did not misspeak. I said, I wouldn't be for him doing it. I'm not for him choosing him. But you asked, if I remember correctly, you asked if he chose him, would you support him? I'm like, yeah, of course. Because people are wanting to know, oh, would you support Larry Elder for VP? I'm not excited about that idea. And it's partly because he is black, yeah. Because I'm sick of this kissing up to blacks. And even if it's not that, that's what it looks like. And so I don't like that. And that would be the motivation for a whole lot of these phonies who would vote for him or be excited about it. That's not a reason to be excited about somebody because they're black. All these people voted for Obama. Oh, he's black. It's historic. Stupid. That's the wrong kind of history. Don't say stupid too much, kids. Do as I say, not as I do. So, no, it's... if he picks them, then of course, hey. But I don't anticipate him picking them. Nor does he, Larry Elder, on the Fallen State with Jesse Lee Peterson. Right? He was on the Fallen State recently. Said that he would go to Washington, D.C. if Trump were to pick him, but he doesn't think that Trump will pick him. Doesn't expect it anyway. But that's not one that I would be cheerleading for Trump to pick. But I would definitely be cheerleading if Trump did pick him. Do you notice the difference? It's a subtle difference, but it's a true, clear difference, and it's no shift in my thinking on the matter. So thank you, Popcorn's Thump Keg, for your coffee. Who also asks, why do you specifically support capital punishment? I've heard people reference biblical Old Testament passages to justify their support, but they, not you, pick and choose when it comes to the laws and beliefs that they adhere to. Who gave man the authority for capital punishment? He says CP, which you don't want to... Sorry. Pardon me. If you know, you know, and don't get distracted by that abbreviation. I disavow it. And if it's biblical, is it Old or New Testament? There were cases where God struck down some guys in the New Testament, in Acts. Ananias and Sapphira, something like that, who sold their farm or something, or land, and pretended like they gave all the money to the church or whatever, but it wasn't actually, but they lied about it, and the apostles or whatever, whomever, could tell, or God told them or whatever, the Holy Spirit told them, and so God struck them down and they died, one after the other. I'm laughing, but that's, I'm laughing as if I'm so tough and callous that I am unmoved by death and execution. I'm not that tough. I think that it's there is something old school, and you don't throw away old school traditions just because you don't personally see the wisdom behind it. You know, that's one. Just like you don't accept gay or sex out of wedlock just because you can't, or pornography or whatever, just because you can't tell, you can't express why it's wrong. Just because you can't express why something is wrong doesn't mean you don't know that it's wrong, or doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow that inkling that there's something off. Because if you don't know it's right, why would you go with it? But there's something that just seems right about the death penalty. That's basically why I support it. It will, it should be swift. It should be done swift. Justice should be swift. I don't know if that is written in the Bible anywhere, but traditionally, justice is supposed to be swift. I think. It sounds right that it should be swift. And it should be, right. And I think that it's right for some to suffer that punishment. And like I mentioned before, I heard Sean, the producer, called into American Anchor Baby weeks back, and he said that he's not for it. He doesn't think. He used to always be for it. He used to be for it always. But he was not for it because well, among other things, people can't help themselves. And that's why I say that you should do it. Because people can't help themselves, let me help you help yourself. You know what I mean? Because that will, it can be a deterrent, perhaps, to some. It won't be a deterrent for all, of course. But it can be you don't have the law in your heart, and you're out of control. You have the law of the land. And they do not wield the sword for nothing. It's in the New Testament. He does not wield the sword for nothing. That is in the New Testament. Accept the authorities. You do not wield the sword for nothing. The sword is for hurting you. And in some cases, offing you entirely. You being the general you, not you personally. So, the deterrent aspect also, it's just... It's actual justice. God forbid I do something that calls for the death penalty. I wouldn't want it. But in a worldly, ego, selfish sense, having impending death penalty coming upon me might spur me to repentance quicker. Maybe. I don't know. I would be like, oh God, oh God. Because people think, oh, if you don't kill them, then they have better chance to repent. You're playing God because you don't know what the chances are of somebody repenting. But that doesn't even make sense. You're in your imagination. And so am I when I'm thinking, oh, if I had to face the death penalty, I would repent quicker. Because, I don't know, that's just selfishness. But selfishness, whatever. I don't know. We are all groping around in the dark. And that's not a dirty word in this sense. It's a biblical word, I think. Blind people. So thank you, Popcorn Stump Keg, for the coffee. I hope that I did it justice for you. Nice. WD41 gave a diamond over on DLive. Appreciate that. Thank you. And shout out to the Rumble crew who have given me squat today. But that's fine. I appreciate it. Irregardless, which is not a word. All right. Enough chatter from Hake. Sean in Florida. Hey, Sean in Florida, nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How about you?
Okay.
Nice.
Well, it dawned on me. I wanted to know more about you, like your path to the Hake Report, your path to Jesse Lee Peterson's show. I mean, what was the path that led you to be sitting in that seat?
Yeah.
With your microphone.
Well, I was raised pretty well, you know, relatively right. I get that everybody's raised horribly. So I was raised horribly, but I was also raised with some semblance of values. And I think God is inside of all, God is inside of people. Like calling them, hey, wake up, snap out of it, you're, repent, blah, blah, blah. Maybe. I don't know. And so I think that led me to be seeking the truth, if you will. And so I came to JLP's church from basically word of mouth to bond many years ago. When I say many, I mean like 15 years ago or so. And so he offered me a job right away, but I didn't take it. Several years later, he offered me a job again, and I took it to become producer. I was not working in this stuff at all. I was working at a family business, like a cabinet shop, a little cabinet shop. And I took the opportunities. I followed the opportunities in those cases to, one, start working as producer, and then later have my own show.
So you were... when you were coming to there at the, you said you were participating in the bond, like the building, rebuilding the man program?
I was coming to church. I was not in a program. I was not in like the after school character building program that he had. I was not involved in the mentorship or entrepreneurship programs at that point or anything like that. I mean, I joined the Entrepreneur Academy later, but that was after I was already started and working for Bond.
He saw something in you for this type of line of, y'all call it a ministry? Your thing,
I don't call mine a ministry. You could call what he does ministry for sure. Yeah. Are you asking if I saw something in it or if he saw something in me?
Well, he had to see something in you. I mean, I was asking if he saw something in you for him to offer you a job. He had to see something in you.
Yeah, he sensed that I'm going to be pretty fairly responsible, relatively speaking, and reliable somewhat. I think that's what I picture. That's what I assume is what he saw, that I was a decent employee. It's hard to find a decent employee. I'm a halfway decent employee, I think. Or at least I would have been.
You're not halfway decent. Did you grow up in a two-parent household?
Yeah. I had both my father and my mother.
Wow.
Yep.
Would you say they taught you right from wrong? Was either one of them more of a disciplinarian over you and your siblings? Or?
Yeah, my dad was the harsher, more strict one, for sure.
Oh.
Yep. And you know what? Nobody in my family was, I didn't know anybody who was divorced in my family, or maybe in my extended family, not even related by blood, like a cousin's grandma or something like that, might have divorced and remarried long before I was born, and I didn't even know or care about it. But other than that, like, nobody was divorced in my family. Nobody that I knew was cheating or sleeping, having sex out of wedlock or anything. Everybody was just Christian and normal and together. And it was kind of mama-led, like grandma. Grandma had these parties and things on my mother's side, But
right.
But on, as far as I knew, this stuff didn't exist. So this, it was like shocking worldly stuff that happened to other people. It none of that ever happened in my family. So I don't know if they were doing something right, or if the men were just caving to the women, or a little bit of both, or what. But it made for a relatively decent upbringing. Whatever. I don't know. So in short, I was raised Christian, I guess.
But would you call it, when you were sheltered, was it a type of shelter?
There was some sheltering. I also sort of self-sheltered, because I was listening to, my freshman year, I was listening to Power 106 FM, 105.9, listen to the rap music, secular rap music. But I was also mainly only buying, I was only buying Christian music, because that's what my siblings and mother were listening to. My dad didn't really listen to music much. He was a man.
Oh, wow.
He worked. So I... So it was just... my parents were doing the best they could. Christian way.
What part of the country did you grow up in? Did you grow up in the Midwest? Or the-
No. SoCal. At Los Angeles County. Not far from Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not far from Arcadia, California, which is one of the best high schools in the country, public high schools in the country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I grew up amongst whites, actually mostly Hispanics and Asians.
Oh, okay.
And then one or two blacks now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So your path was led right there to what you're doing today. Do you feel like this is your purpose?
No, I don't feel like that. I mean, sometimes I get caught up with my work every day. Caught up in the sense of got to do this, got to do that, thinking about it. But I don't really think about a life purpose. I don't think about that. Yeah.
What you're going to be doing the rest of your life. Oh.
No, yeah. In fact, I kind of thought that I was going to end up doing the cabinet shop the rest of my life at one point. I remember that crossing my mind. I'm like, I'll probably end up doing this for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. Did you ever marry?
I have not married, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've had I've dated here and there, and most of the time it doesn't last long.
Right.
And when I say dated, I meant like go hang out with a girl. I don't mean sleep around. I never did that. Like, it never even, it was never even a, I don't know. I was just trained and so I kept on those boundaries of not crossing not crossing those lines.
Well, in this day and time, one of the rare specimens.
I know. In fact, I thought that was normal. I thought that most people did that. I remember being kind of shocked when people were doing that. I'm like, so, yeah, it's a different, sort of a different upbringing.
You're in your 30s, right?
40s now.
Oh, you're 40?
Yep, 42.
Oh, you mean like you're in your 30s at least?
That's because you're looking at me in low res. maybe your eyesight is a little bit blurry, so it looks all clean. If you saw me up close, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, he's in his 40s.
Well, you're living a clean life, so I guess if you haven't had any, you know, inkling towards, you know, meeting the right lady, the right woman, I guess. When she comes, you'll know who she is, you know.
Oh, true. Yeah.
If you have the, you know, desire to get married.
Maybe so.
Yeah, okay. Well, this was interesting. So that means you don't have any children.
Correct. No children. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
You still got your freedom in a certain way.
Yeah, okay. In a certain way, I still have that. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for your life, I mean, your story, how you grew up, and you weren't, I mean, that's fortunate that you're not wasting, that you had two parents trying to do, you know, train you up, and everybody in your household was around, you know, trying to do the right thing. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think I think it is. I think there are a lot of benefits to that on many levels.
Can I ask you this? I know some Christian kids growing up who haven't had the, you know, they've had like a path like what you have, but you know how the world just kind of, they kind of think like that they're missing out on something.
Oh, yes.
Might either try, you know, backslide or whatever, you know. Have you ever had a like a patch of time or somewhere you backslid and, you know?
I definitely hang out with my friends in ways that I wouldn't hang out with my family, or have hung out with my friends in ways that I haven't hung out with my family. But yeah, it's nothing crazy.
Yeah, you got it. You anchor down a certain degree. You don't go too far.
Right. It sort of helped me choose friends who aren't. Whites tend to like stuff calm. We don't like stuff so wild.
Yeah.
Or at least the whites that I know. There's some whites who are kind of wild. That's true.
Some of what I see that they protect their neighborhoods. I you know, some of the characteristics, you know, like more, you know, kind of like, just kind of like, just want to live peacefully.
Right. Even if we're immoral and under evil-hearted, we like things peaceful and orderly and following the law for the most part. We're not just outwardly wild. Yeah.
And to help the neighbor. You know, so you see your defense and help the neighbor and, you know, and look out for, you know, neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
But that's
American.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that is. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. It's this movie out. Have you heard of the title? Well, at first I thought it was going to be like a little positive spin on, because of, well, it's called the Secret Society of Magical Negroes. Have you heard of that movie?
Oh, I think I have heard of that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, you know, like, oh, they're making a like positive spin maybe about, you know, black people who are, you know, doing, you know, living excellently, and they're somewhere, you know, I thought it was going to be something like that.
Uh-huh.
But when you hear what the previews are about it, it's really, you know, again pushing, it's again pushing the false narrative. You know, it's like, I guess a group of black people that are being, you're telling about, you know, about black, whites, white man, or something like that. But it reverts into like interracial relationship of the guy, the main character, and the guy. So it's kind of like, the way they did it, it's kind of like the MK Ultra psychology, again, focusing on men, on people's minds, you know, particularly the black and white races, to be against each other, you know, the MK Ultra psychological programming through the movies. And they did say the reason shows are called programs on TV is because they're actually programming.
So the movie is exposing the programming, or is the movie part of the programming?
I think the movie is a part. It continues to be a part of the programming to divide the races.
To divide the races.
Yeah, it's election year too, and they're going to come up with all these crazy, you know, things, you know, this is just, you know, continues. But, okay, well, thank you so much. It's interesting to hear your, you know, background, backstory, and yeah, have a good day.
You too, Sean in Florida. Take care. Nice.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. I'd like to see if there's anything else that I can get to before I get back to calls quickly, because people like to hear me talk sometimes, you know, whatever. This IVF thing, in vitro fertilization, in the other folder, this was from sometime back, the 28th of February. There's all these gals are doing this in vitro fertilization, and I think that it's because they're wasting their youth. That because they've been brainwashed to waste their youth. Look at this gal. Doesn't look like a Christian. I crack myself up. But anyway, this is old news if you're looking at this CNN 5 things summary. But in vitro fertilization, the Alabama governor, Kay Ivey, a woman. I forget whether she's Democrat or Republican. Come on, Alabama, why are you electing a woman? How far the South has fallen. Signed a bill into law aiming at protecting in vitro fertilization. That means in glass, fertilize an egg with a seed and make a baby or an embryo, which is a developing human being, or a human being frozen in development or whatever. And in vitro patients and providers from legal liability were they to get killed. Because an embryo dies, they destroy an embryo, you're killing a life that you created in a lab or in a glass or whatever. Look at that gal. She's, what was she? She's a patient. I feel like my embryos are locked up. I guess she's from Alabama. Doesn't she look not Christian? Not normal white? But anyway, white women are doing this too, I guess. Maybe, who knows? Normal white ones. The state Supreme Court of Alabama ruled that frozen embryos are human beings. They are. And those who destroy them can be held liable for wrongful death. Held liable for wrongful death. That sounds kind of like a civil suit. Sounds like a civil suit, not necessarily criminal. The ruling prompted 3 of the state's limited pool of IVF providers to pause some services immediately, sending some so-called families out of state for treatment, meaning would-be fathers and mothers, out of state for this stuff and raising concerns nationwide about so-called reproductive rights. In this case, I guess you could call it reproductive rights, whatever. Giving special treatment to people who've wasted their lives so they can't have babies. In some cases, you can't have babies because you're barren or whatever. You're just born barren or, I don't know, barren. B-A-R-R-E-N. Not B-A-R-O-N. Not Trump's son, barren. Baron. Barren. No. So the Republican-backed legislation will provide some civil and criminal immunity. Experts say it doesn't fully address the philosophical and practical problems brought by the Supreme Court's ruling. The skim is all over it, too. The ladies at the skim, that was from Commie Nonsense Network, that little report I just read. It's sort of vanity, you know, to me. The scientists have come up with a way that you can have babies easier, even if you've, for whatever reason, you can't. Because they're encouraging people to, you know, like I've said this so many times, you guys probably sick of hearing me say it. They encourage women to waste their lives in education, their youth, waste their youth in college and a university and career and buy a house, give money and buy a house. And by the way, they're cheapening your money so that you can barely afford stuff. They've turned the men into beta. They're turning all the alpha males all into betas. Hat tip to Hassan and JLP. I literally believe that they tried to turn us all effeminate and soft and less testosterone. Because I think that the reason, part of the reason, I suspect, of blacks being more violent, because they just are, and aggressive, is because they have higher testosterone. Both the men and the women have higher testosterone. And so that their anger expresses itself in outward rage, their emotionalness, right? Because we are all emotional until we repent. Feeds out into that, and whereas other people are angry and sulk, or angry and whatever, and be shy or fearful, or whatever. So that's my theory. And so they wanted to reduce all the violent crime, and so they turned us all. Sorry, kids, gay. I disavow it, but that's what they tried to do to us. Women and their cockamamie ideas, and males, intellectuals. You know. Okay, okay, Ivy. So it's sort of playing God. I don't really have a big problem with it. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on this IVF stuff. A big opinion about it. Clinics should be able to resume IVF services immediately. Normally they say reproductive rights and they mean killing the baby. Killing the man's child. Terrible. Killing God's child, which belongs for a time to the man, and the woman is supposed to be helping out. Right? The women get all this ownership feeling, ego, over the, quote-unquote, their children. That's why you saw Elijah McClain's mother crying and all dramatizing something that she does not need to be worrying her pretty little head about. She's causing more trouble than helping. Elijah McClain being the BLM fake martyr. Yeah, that's it. That's that boy. She made that boy. She messed him up, and now she's blaming the paramedics who had to deal with him. And maybe they messed up, but he died. Alabama's lawmakers maintain the new legislation is a short-term fix. Blah, 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 blah. Mixed reviews. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I think I got my points out about it. We all squander our lives on some level. If you have a baby, good, fine, I guess. But if you don't or can't, ladies and men, don't fall into your imagination about. Thanks about the Elijah McClain. I'm done with that. Thanks. Don't fall into. What my other point is, don't fall into regret about wasting your life, because you did. You know, you're wasting. We're wasting so much of our lives and time. Look at me right now. And it's not the end of the world. That's not what real life is. Real life is God-given. Seek God first. And do not worry about this stuff. Does that make sense? Hake, don't talk about our testosterone difference until you learn it, says Lin Yin Chin. Well, I learned it from you that black women have higher testosterone levels than the other women. So I got that. I was only repeating stuff that I heard from you, Lin Yin Chin. But okay, I'll obey. The chat. Gives me information that I repeat. So take what I say with a grain of salt. You guys are wasting my time watching my show. Wasting your time watching my show, says Carver 531. No, waste away. All right, not funny. Jeff, first time caller in Ohio, has been on hold for a little bit. What's up, Jeff in Ohio? Thanks for calling and holding. What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Hake.
Hey.
Love the show, man.
Thanks.
Do you think there's a practical way of obtaining a college degree or advanced degree?
Oh, yeah, of course. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was listening to the show a couple weeks ago about you talking about the intellect with Joe from Phoenix. Shout out to Joe.
Yeah.
And that question just came to my mind. I'm a pharmacist, so...
Oh, right on.
Myself. And I think it's due to people being in the fallen state, maybe. But I obtained my degree in a practical way, I feel like.
And you know what?
But most of my classmates didn't.
You know what? Don't you, Okay, let me finish. Go ahead and finish your point. Yeah. I don't want to cut into it.
They just identified with the knowledge that they were obtaining. Yeah. Not just in calling themselves doctor or whatever. Because right. Pharmacists are technically doctor. It's a doctorate degree now.
And getting kind of a pride out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially my professors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So but then, you feel like you got it in a practical way. You think that you got it in a practical way. But you don't know that you got it in a practical way. Is that what you're saying, telling me? You don't know that you got it in a practical way?
I think I do know, because I just never identified with the whole doctor thing. Or, you know, I see a lot of doctors and nurses, for example, identifying with their professions.
Is there any pride that you have in comparing your reaction to getting these degrees and not identifying with it versus these people who did identify with it? Are you thinking that you're better at all than them?
Not at all.
Mm-mm. Nice.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah. I think that the ego is kind of practical for making babies and getting going after career and being driven and being, what's that word, to be the greatest, Hassan? Ambition. Ambition. Yeah. That's all fallen state ego. It's sort of practical for a time. It's kind of like what I said. Let me just briefly read this.
No.
Or let me read this briefly. Yesterday, Big Bump texted me saying, I really like how you said when you're old and conservative and repentant, your music as a musician, your music that you create stinks. You're over the hill. So the young, out of control musicians are the best. And then when they get the sophomore slump. And so why should the devil have all the good music? Because he's the one who's making the music. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth in that, because, you know, a lot of the, you see a lot of the older musicians become an establishment and are being afraid to speak the truth and stuff now.
Right. Look at Eminem. He was so anti-establishment. Now he's for the establishment, hating the man who's independent and snubbing his nose at the media, Trump. He should be with Trump if he had grown up and not stayed bitter and angry and blind.
Going back to my point, when I was an undergrad, I feel like I did identify more with the intellect as far as like the humanities go versus the actual practical sciences. But then once I got accepted into pharmacy school, I kind of let all that go in a way.
Okay.
I don't know what that was about. But and another thing that came to my mind was, like, my profession, pharmacist, everything used to be an apprenticeship.
Versus
the didactic curriculum in the classroom. And I feel like that has something to do with it, too.
So
I'd be curious to see what the chat thinks.
Apprenticeship meaning you learn by working and working under somebody and being trained the normal way.
That's how I learned the best. I mean, working in a pharmacy, you know, seeing the day-to-day. And that's how it used to be more. You worked under a pharmacist. You were a pharmacist apprentice. And you know, you did some classroom work, but, you know. And then the trades are still like that today.
Yeah.
Half the time, I just want to leave my job and become a bricklayer. So.
That's interesting, man.
It's practical, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I got golden handcuffs, though. I have golden handcuffs. My job's too good. I can provide to my family.
Okay.
It's tough to leave.
Yeah. Apprenticeship. I love that, man. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
It never even occurred to me about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, doctors, just think about how doctors were.
Yeah.
Thousands of years, even. Just, they were apprenticed under another doctor and, you know.
Yeah.
They kind of learned the ways. They didn't identify with it. Some did.
Right.
Yeah. You know. So.
Nice.
That was just what was on my mind, man.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, love the show. Appreciate it.
So I just suggest, if you're not absolutely sure, don't say that you are or aren't, like, identifying with the ego thing or whatever. Because you don't want to start to judge yourself.
Right,
as doing something right, because then you're just,
because I acknowledge
blind.
I was in a fallen state up until about 3 or 4 years ago. I really started to wake up.
Yeah,
so I probably did identify with it a little bit. You're like, oh, you're a pharmacist, you know, blah blah.
It's kind of like
because my wife is too, actually.
Identifying with it a little bit is still poison. You know,
right.
It's still corrupt is corrupt. It's like you're I'm a little bit pregnant. You can't be a little bit pregnant. You're corrupt. You know, you're identify. You have a false identity.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of earlier the first hour, my first call. William said that he doesn't think Mark is that angry. My other caller, Mark.
And shout out to William. Seriously.
Yeah. But
I like that dude.
But whether or not it's not about whether Mark is that angry or anybody is that angry. Any anger, any of this emotional anger / fear, whatever, is poison. It's blind. It's worry. It's lack of faith in God. It's evil. So it doesn't matter if it's not that angry.
William reminds me of the old blacks that grew up coaching me in different sports and stuff, the old school people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good dude.
Nice. Thank you, Jeff in Ohio. It's great to hear from you, man. Call me again sometime.
Appreciate you, man.
All right.
Yes, I will, sir. Thank you so much. Well, bye-bye.
Bye. Man, I got to get to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona. I tried to get to him yesterday with Krishan the Don. I'm going to have Krishan back to take calls tomorrow on Friday. Joe in Phoenix, Arizona, are you there?
Good morning, James.
Morning.
Yeah, I'll have to try to call in tomorrow.
Cool.
So, my goodness, the Stormy Daniels stuff, you do realize it's not her bringing the charges, right?
Right, but she was blabbering, right? Wasn't she blabbering?
Actually, no. She was trying to hide from all this. They had to go seek her out because of Michael Cohen's testimony.
Michael Cohen paid her off, right?
Michael Cohen paid her off at the direction of Trump. And Trump
according
paid
to reports?
Cohen back. Well, according to actual evidence, yeah.
Whatever. Okay, so then she was blabbering at one point because he paid her off.
No, she wasn't blabbering, but he paid her to keep her quiet.
He paid her so that she wouldn't blabber?
Correct.
And this was in 2016 when this stuff happened?
Yeah, when he was first time he was running for president, yeah.
And when their paths crossed, that was in 2005 when Melania was...
I don't even remember. It was some golf tournament.
When Melania was pregnant with Barron Trump, who's now a teenager, right?
I think she had just given birth, is what I recall.
Okay, so that's roughly like 10 years or 11 years later, she gets paid to be quiet. That indicates to me that she was either she was maybe going to threaten to blabber.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I can't speak for her. But
today she is shameless, and so are all the demon-possessed people who are...
Now she sees money, right?
Yeah. And so are all the demon-possessed... And malice. Malice is also a big motivator, I think, for a lot of people. I don't know her, but she seems
mercenary.
Sort of...
She's in it for the money, for sure.
Okay, well, a lot of people are malicious in their motivation.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
But did you see that Alan Weisselberg's in trouble again? He pleaded guilty to perjury felony in the civil trial, and this is exactly what I was trying to tell you before, James. But now... He's looking at another 6 months.
Alan Weisselberg or whatever, you're referring to the Trump CFO?
CFO, yeah.
Okay. And so he's facing criminal charges now?
He is.
Okay. So first he got civil and then he got criminal. This is what you've been hammering at Hake.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm not concerned.
So it's interesting. Well, I know you're not, but it should be interesting to see what happens.
Maybe.
But in that vein, I think I told you when I was in the hospital for those 6 months, my personal horse died. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I might have forgotten that. I gotta wrap up in about a minute, man. So let's wrap this up. Go ahead.
Anyway, I had to buy a new horse finally. Now that I've gained all the weight back, which is good. So there was a horse auction, and to get a horse auction, you got to bring your own vet because it's a shady world of horse auction.
Oh.
And the vet I brought with me is a part-time pastor. and I had him listen to some of your shows when we were driving up there. And he said, the boy, you sure do get attacked a lot, Joe. And I said, yeah. And he reminded me of Romans 12, 19, and 20. Because I was telling him how I sometimes feel the need to fire back, as you know.
Yeah.
So he reminded me of Romans 12, and 19, and 20, which I'm sure you can look up. So I'm going to try to keep that in mind in the future when people lie about me and attack me, but that's okay.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Never take revenge. Right on, man. Appreciate you, Joe and Phoenix. Call me again sometime. Take care.
All right, bud. Yeah, I'll call you tomorrow. We'll work with Hashan. Have a good day.
All right. Bye. You too. Mays in Dayton, Ohio, and the rest of the callers and super chatters, I cannot get to you guys. This is Assorted Jelly Beans. Wigger side. Adios, America. Bye. It's not Christian, but it doesn't have cussing. I guess I disavow it. Eight legs. Riverside is outside of LA, and it's whites who act like blacks. And so they call it the word that Mays calls William. Sorry, William. Joel Friday TV coming up next, guys. Don't get fixes, kids. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I never got into Plum. It was kind of cool. I like it. Just thought I would share it. Adios, America. Bye.